It's just my father and Colin Masubin Khan and online. It's nice to see you again. The last time I saw you was 2 weeks ago. I just wanted, before we start, to clarify a few points that were raised after the show and a few questions people had. So I know that's probably the only show you've been thinking about over the past 2 weeks, and it's right at the forefront of your mind. Therefore, I'll just go quickly into the answers and then we'll move on from there, because I presume this was the favourite one over the past year. But right at the beginning, we discussed the Dvar Torah, and it could be I was quite quick in explaining. And we discussed that many Rishonim, and the Ramban in particular, earlier in Parshas told us, discusses the mitzvahs that the others kept. And the famous questions that are always raised with how could Yaakov marry two sisters, etc., if the others kept the whole Torah, the Gemara tells us, even Erev Tavshilin. And the Ramban has a mahalach that inside Eretz Yisrael they kept all the mitzvahs, but not necessarily outside Eretz Yisrael. And then they kept the mitzvahs they felt were needed to be kept at any specific time of their life. And Yosef was bringing up children in Mitzrayim, which was in a culture that held favorite and held good anything that was opposite to his beliefs. As we see, as soon as he came down to Mitzrayim, he was Ish Hashem, and even Potiphar noticed that. And everything was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he always thinks of his father's house constantly. But he wants his children to have that same attitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and towards the Torah and the mitzvahs, but it's not easy for them because they've got their friends around them, or there's no one else Jewish near them. You're in Canaan, which is obviously miles away. And he had no connection to his family, as we know. He didn't send letters back, as everyone asks, why not? But he didn't do it. He didn't send any connection. He was scared for his life. So Yosef, says the Ramban, felt that in order to instill his children with a love for Hashem, with an appreciation for Yiddishkeit and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to, says Yosef, keep Shabbos. And that's how they're going to be instilled with the fundamentals of Emunah, that the world, as they believed in those days, was around forever. Some people believe, you know, the world was created. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created it. And there's reward and punishment, and there's a cause. And that was, Yosef said, I'm going to keep Shabbos, and that way my children will understand that, and they'll have a mun in Hashem by enjoying Shabbos, by spending Shabbos meals together, by davening, and by speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Yosef kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim. What it meant was, because in Parshas Vayechi, which was then, we bless our children to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. And famously, why do we choose them out of all the Shvatim, when they were really the grandchildren, although they're considered to be Shvatim, they were the next generation. And the famous answer is because they managed to sort of deflect the culture that was around them and stay close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they had no Kehillah together with them. Whereas the rest of the Shvatim, for them, to an extent, it was easier because they were surrounded by Yaakov and all the brothers, constantly learning and reminding themselves about Hashem and his Torah. However, the Ephraim and Manasseh, just like Yosef, he was probably busy a lot of the time in the palace, and therefore it would be hard for them. But they managed to overcome that. And so much so that when we bench our children in Golos to withstand all the temptations that we have around us, we bench them specifically to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. And what the connection was, it was my own connection, so I don't know, I just thought of it, was that so we see that Yosef's chinuch was very successful. Because obviously the keeping Shabbos, and the reason why he kept Shabbos was to instill with them Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and Avas HaTorah and Avas HaMitzvahs. The way, the medium Yosef did that was through Shabbos, and that obviously worked. Because if it wouldn't have worked, we wouldn't bench our children to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. So that was my own thought though. It was based on the Ramban, but you know, I mean, and if it's correct or incorrect, but I presume it makes sense. I don't think it's opposing any other major Hashkafas at all.
How do you know the big Shabbos is
How do you know?
The big Shabbos also.
Because the Ramban says, and it's a Medrash, that when the brothers came and they were in this palace, I think the Medrash learns from the word Bahachain, that they had to prepare food for him. I didn't look up the Medrash, I just saw it in the Ramban, but I think that's the Medrash. And we pointed out then that it was the Oynik Shabbos the Medrash was pointing out to us, and that's how he instilled the Abbas HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his children. So that was just to clarify that point. Someone also asked me a couple of other questions about the three points that we made. So I do want to move on because we started a bit late, but I'll just go very quickly. That we mentioned three points. We said you've got a cover to avoid you stoking the coals. Ramosha says nowadays that's the equivalent of turning up the fire. That was debated, but that's the general psak that we have. We said there are exceptions to it. If you're stuck, then you can the first thing you can cover up the knobs if you're really stuck. That was one exception. And the main one that we pointed out was that if you cook most of it before Shabbos, so it's more than Machal Ben Drusoy, at least, or as Machal Ben Drusoy, but it's mostly cooked, then the covering is not really be-all, end-all anymore, because we're not that concerned that for the meal you're going to try and turn it up. That was what I was trying to say, and that's all over Shulchan Aruch. That's not a chiddush at all. And the Ramah really paskins like that, that if it's mostly cooked from before Shabbos, then your blech is not so relevant anymore. What, you worried that maybe someone's going to turn it up? Of course he's not going to turn it up. It's mostly cooked. He's having his meal after davening in an hour's time. He's not really concerned that the meat is not cooked enough. And therefore you can leave it uncovered. That was what I was trying to clarify last time. And I think that's partial. I think the Chazanish, I looked at the Bialacha, not the Chazanish, but I saw it quoted. He said that's even Lechatchila. The Bialacha says try to keep away, because obviously many of us are not proficient in many of the Halachas. And as soon as we break it slightly, then we forget, and our children don't necessarily know. So of course, I think in terms of chinuch, and for all other reasons, it's obvious to me that you should definitely, in any situation, put it on. Because you and your family don't know the halachas, and they're going to get confused, as we find with many halachas. So I would say, and the bihalacha says that's not my point at all. That's why I was clarifying. And obviously, we hinted to induction, but Dudi mentioned this afterwards. Obviously, induction would be a big problem. We'll talk more about inductions today in a different area of Bishal. But induction, because you know you're connecting and deconnecting the circuit every time you lift it up and off, as well as the Bishal problems, you have electricity problems. There are many discs you could put on, which we spoke about when we spoke about Hagdolas Kalim about half a year ago, that you could put on that as well. But I wasn't saying at all the induction, of course, you don't need a blech, because of course you would. Just to clarify that, and just to clear my back slightly about Yosef in Mitzrayim, after that as well.
Overcooked.
Oh, I see. Yeah, mechibur. Yeah, fair enough. I don't want to go too into that now because we've only got 15 minutes left. So we're going to discuss today the method of cooking that's not fire related at all. So Bishal that the Torah describes, and the Chazal tell us, is Bishal with a fire. Now there are many mediums and ways to cook nowadays that are not fire related, which is obvious. Microwaves is the easiest one, and that's the one we'll be referring to the most, because that's what the most mainstream poskim discuss, because it's been around for a bit of time. But the Shir today discusses the scope of these cooking utensils, if that's the right word, that are not necessarily cooking with fire, but they're still cooking nonetheless. Microwaves cause the molecules inside the food, I think, to move a lot, and that heats it up. But there's no fire. There may be fire to turn it on. That may be some electrical spark, which is a discussion in itself, which we're not going into today, but the actual cooking of it is not a fire. So is it mutter or asa? And the scope of this question is very broad, because it's not only related to Hilchos Shabbos, but it's related to Bishal Akum, if a non-Jewish person would cook in a medium of a microwave, which is not a fire-related cooking, or an induction stove that's not fire, like we discussed with Hagolas Kalim a bit of time ago, if you touch it, it's not hot, necessarily. It's not fire, however, there's connections and molecules moving, there's ways to heat it up without fire, so is it mutter or asa? Is it mutter or asa? Is Bishal Akum? A non-Jew can't cook food for you. Let him put it in a microwave or an induction stove. That's not fire. Chazal never spoke about induction stoves or microwaves. And that's a strong tzad. There's basa b'chalav. Basa b'meat. You can't cook meat and milk. Lois savashel, bishel. What's bishel? Is microwave considered to be bishel? Is our induction stove considered to be bishel? What does it mean when we... How do we clarify in class bishel? Bishel is cooking. But is cooking fire or is cooking also non-fire? So just before we start, Star K, and I've emailed them to check this because I had this Shaila once, Star K with induction stoves say it's completely mutton, it's not Bishal Akum at all. And most Bate Dinas, when I checked around here, based in the Federation, don't go with that at all, with their kashrus authorities. You know, I don't think, I've checked with a few of them and it's not really held up. I'm just showing you how far the argument goes.
Well, what did they say,
Star K? An induction stove or a microwave is not a fire related to cooking. So if a non-Jew would cook in there and not heat it up, it may be different, you know, dinim. But if you cook something on an induction stove or a microwave, which are both non-fire related ways to cook, then it's not bishul hakol.
So what? I'm going to cook with for Shabbos.
So that's one second. I'm just showing you, that's not a psak which most people take on. But even today, I don't think I can be here to give a psak because it's not for me to do that. Like I was saying before, I mean, I spend most of my day trying to unmute children on Zoom at the moment. So to give a psak in such an intricate, I think it's a chutzpah for me to come on, learn this for a few weeks and then give a psak. But I can discuss it and I can show you how far the shaila goes. And the psak can be narrowed down for yourself and you can see how far the spectrum is. But the starke goes far as to say that that's not bishul. Bishul is fire. Chazal never spoke about the microwave. Now there are many questions you may be having, but that's the normal way to cook. And we'll discuss that as we carry on. But it's completely mutter with bishul akum. I want to start off the Shabbos question with a Lahiris Nosson from Tshuva in Chelek Zayin, Simon Samach Dalad and Simon Samach Hei. I think that's from Nosson Gestetner. He was lived about 10 years ago. He says that if you look in the beginning of the halachas of Basav Acholav in the Rambam, Perek Tes, Macholas Asuras, Halachavav, and in the Beis Yosef, in the beginning of Pei Zayin, then there's a comparison between cooking meat and milk and cooking on Shabbos. And what's clear from the Rambam and the Beis Yosef was that cooking in Chamei Tiberia, cooking which is not the heat of fire but the heat of the sun potentially, it's not fire heat, it's potentially, there's no malchus with basar b'chalav, ein loikin olav, akin to Hilchos Shabbos, where we say that if you cook in Chamei Tiberia there's no malchus, and Rashi says ein derech bishul b'kach, that's not the way to cook. So I'll just repeat that. The Rambam and the Beis Yosef are clear that there's a comparison and a link between basar b'chalav and Shabbos in terms of cooking and in terms of negating any method of cooking that's not fire related. Now what the practical halacha is, there's different discussions how far we go with this lack of malchus, but there's definitely a comparison. And just like with bishul on Shabbos, if it's not the regular way to cook, like Chamei Tiberia, then it would become mutter. So too with bishul basar b'chalav, and asks Reb Nosson, why on earth? Bishul b'Shabbos, let's put that in its own category. That's cooking in the Mishkan. That's comparable to whatever malacha happened in the Mishkan. That's what Chazal tell us in Vayakal Pekudei with the drasha of the Mishkan to Shabbos. The 39 malachas are based on whatever work was needed to either build or the upkeep of the Mishkan. That's Hilchos Shabbos, everything. And then there's Isuri Derabbanan that help us protect those. But Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, what's Asur on Shabbos, are malachas that they used to do in the Mishkan times. And that's how we categorize and classify all the malachas. So cooking, they used to cook the dyes in the Mishkan as we know, and therefore our cooking as well. So then you can presume, as the Gemara according to Rashi does, that if it's not the regular way of cooking, and they wouldn't have cooked in the sun in the Mishkan, then what you could do is you could say, well, cooking in the sun is going to be then mutter on Shabbos. That's Hilchos Shabbos. So if you've missed me until now, you could start from here. Shabbos, we say, if it's not derech bishul, Rashi explains the Gemara, if you cook in the sun, cook in Chamei Tiberia, not on a fire cooking, then that's not considered to be bishul, and it's mutter, apart from other Isuri Derabbanan that may be relevant there. But midaraisa, it's not considered to be bishul. Says the Rambam, Asotu Basar B'Cholav. One second. Shabbos, asks Reb Nosson, is because in the Mishkan, they cooked with fire, so what's asa on Shabbos is with fire. Maybe there'll be a gzera d'rabbanon because of similar. So if it's cooked in the sun of Chamei Tiberia, they didn't do that in the Mishkan, and thereby it's mutter on Shabbos. Basar b'chalav, what's the Mishkan got to do with that at all? Nothing. So says Reb Nosson a very interesting principle, which I think is mirrored in Reb Chanan in Reish Beis in Ksuvas, that the reason why the bishul is mutter is not necessarily because it's not comparable to the Mishkan if you cook it in the sun, but more than it's not a regular way to do it at all. And Isurim, generally in the whole Torah, are only considered to be awesome in our Torah if they're done in the regular way. For example, in Kol Shaar and Pesachim, we discuss someone eating in an irregular way, someone getting benefit from forbidden food in an irregular way. And it's mutter, apart from maybe other asurim, but it's generally mutter. Why? Because it's irregular. The Torah spoke to regular people, doing regular things. So we may do strange things some of the time, but that wouldn't be categorized as an issa. Which is a very interesting point, because what Rabbi Chanan, and I think Rabbi Nassim is doing the same thing as well, is broadening this whole question and saying Derech Bishul, the way to cook, is not a very narrow Shabbos-related question. It's not a very narrow Basar B'Chalav or Bishul Akum. It's a much broader question. Is this the way to cook at all? Is this the way, when the Torah or Chazal, it's clear that it's equal whether it's the Torah writing it, whether it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu or a Gezerah of Chazal, and when they wrote that, did they want the halacha to apply in irregular ways of doing things?
So
Lo Sevashel, the term of Bishul, according to what, yeah, Lo Sevashel is the regular way. The regular way is fire. It's not a microwave. Now you're going to ask nowadays it's regular, but let's come to that in a second.
What Rav Nassim is... That's why they didn't do it in the times of the Mishkan, because that wasn't a normal way of cooking. That's where it came from.
Although they couldn't do it, then they wouldn't know how to do it, I suppose. No, yeah, but we'll come more back to that in a second, but fair enough.
If they would have built the Mishkan in Tveria, right, if they wanted to achieve a certain result, which was that the dyes had received then they might have done it.
Yeah, but then it would be an issa.
That would give them the same result.
Yeah, of course, but that doesn't negate what I'm saying at all. Then it would be the regular way of cooking a chametz tveria.
Yeah.
Fair enough, 100% right, but it's a completely different... I thought about that a lot when I learned it as well.
Because they happened to be somewhere else, they didn't have chametz tveria.
Yeah, but once it becomes an issa, then it becomes the regular way of doing that. If they would have been living in chametz tveria for 200 years and being camped there, whatever it was, and then it would be, how do you cook a chametz tveria, and what's the regular way of doing that? I don't think that negates what I'm saying, though. No, I think so. I don't think that's it's once the rules are made, how they have to be applied in a regular way. I think that's the principle. So once there's Bishul made, well, how is Bishul done? If it was, let's all bath in Tveria the whole Shabbos, because that's what all the Kohanim did in the Mishkan, then it would be how there was the regular way of doing that. That's a fair point there. Okay. I just want to clarify, and therefore, says Rav Nassim, the microwaves are not included in that. That's not a regular way to cook. But that's interesting, though, because that seems to me that the halachas were stuck in the times of Chazal. If it wasn't regular then, it's not regular now. And says Rav Nassim, therefore, what's the comparison between Basar B'Chalav and Shabbos? Of course there's a comparison, because there's one underlying principle. Is this a regular way to do it? It's not Shabbos, narrow, Mishkan related. Is this a regular way of doing whatever act is prohibited to do? And therefore, Basar B'Chalav, Bishul Akum, and Shabbos will all be in the same category in this broad question of Issurei Torah given to the regular way of doing it. And Bishul B'Akum would be mutter, according to this, because that wasn't the regular way then. And similarly, Basar B'Chalav, and ultimately Shabbos, apart from Issurei D'Rabbanan, which we'll discuss in a minute. But that's interesting, because that means that if it wasn't regular then, it doesn't become regular forever. The Rav Moshe opposes that. And Rav Moshe says, I'm going to go quicker now just to get to my point before the end. Rav Moshe says, if it's regular now, that's Derech Bishul. And therefore it's Asa. Therefore, we're not discussing the turning on of a microwave. Let's say you put it on a timer to cook on Shabbos. Cooking is mostly, it's separate from just using a spark or electricity. It's whether you're allowing it to cook on Shabbos. Rav Moshe says it's Asa Midaraisa. It's a Toldah of Ara. It's not exactly the same as the Mishkan, but it's like any Toldah, it's achieving something similar to it. And therefore it's forbidden. And that's obviously lechatchila, right? It's completely asur, a microwave, because it's a regular way of cooking now. So originally, wouldn't it have been included in the category of cooking? Because originally, this was a race. If there was some, maybe scientist in the midbar trying to work out how to sort out the waves, then maybe, you know, that would be, I presume, would be irregular then, but now it's regular. Says Rav Nassim, it doesn't make a difference. That was how for example, a Bishul Akum, he says, the gzeira has to be chal on something, has to fall when they made it onto all the food and types of cooking they had around them then. This wasn't around, so it's out. So this Ramosha applies nowadays as well. And Derech Bishul, we look in each generation, what is the Derech Bishul to do? And therefore it's Asa min ha-Torah, not Bidurabana. It's like any other cooking that you would do on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that with Shabbos uniquely, would say it's a third way of looking at it, not necessarily whether it's the way or not, not necessarily whether the way applies nowadays or not, like we've just discussed. On Shabbos, Bishul was always specifically with fire. And Derech Bishul of Rashi doesn't necessarily mean the way we do it, it's the way it is done, the way the ultimate Bishul is done, which is always fire in itself. And therefore, cooking with a microwave, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, would always only be midrabanan. If someone cooked with a microwave on Shabbos, it's midrabanan. And it's not midaraisa. So why is it also midrabanan at all if someone cooked? Because there's a concept called toldo dechama. And inherently, it means we don't want people to get mixed up between cooking in ovens and microwaves and everything. If you start allowing cooking in a microwave in your kitchen on Shabbos, like we started off this year with, it's confusing for people. People don't know. So it's a gzeira that it's asa. So we started off by saying that it goes after what's the regular way to do it. It seems that Rav Nosson Kestepne is saying it wasn't the regular way then, it's not the regular way now, so it's not awesome in our Torah. We moved on to saying, Rav Moshe says, the regular comes with us through each door, now it's regular, now it's awesome in our Torah to do like any other oven and fire. And thirdly, you've got Rav Shlomo Zalman who's saying something slightly different. Actually, Bishul on Shabbos is only ever fire. Whether it's regular or irregular, that's not the point. There was a Kabbalah Chazal had that Bishul on Shabbos is only ever fire. That's as much as I understand that. I think it's in a few places. I found it in Mincha Shloimeh Yud Beis in a Ha'ara. Where it seems to me that what he's saying is Shabbos Bishul is fire. And I think Rav Asher Weiss says something similar. That Shabbos Bishul is fire. Derech, what does Derech mean? The way, the ultimate way to cook is with fire. Therefore, that negates anything else. What difference does this make to us?
No, not because that's how they used to do the Mishkan.
I would say not necessarily then, according to this. Because Derech Bishul, maybe you could broaden that and say you can make it into a Tolda. And the answer is no. That because it would only ever be fire itself, because fire is the only way they consider to be cooking, because you couldn't otherwise broaden it and say, well, Derech Bishul, like Rav Moshe says, would make it into a Tolda. You understand what I'm saying? So that wouldn't limit it itself, the Mishkan, because you could make it into a Tolda. What limits it is they have a Kabbalah that cooking on Shabbos definitely meant fire, and there's no question about it. And therefore, it would only ever be midrabanan. I think that answers what you're saying. I just want to finish off, like, what difference does this make at all? It's anyway midrabanan, anyway there's electricity there, anyway no one's going to turn it on in their kitchens. What practical nafkamina does it make? And I think, as far like I said before, right, it's not fair for me to say a psa, but I think it's a machaba and Mishnah Berurah in two places that I can think of the difference that it makes. First of all, for someone a chaylash yesh bo sakon, you machalo Shabbos for him. That's mutter, bekuach nefesh doicha Shabbos, you're a shoit if you don't do it. However, interestingly, the Ramah says in Shin Chav Ches, Sif Yud Beis, Im Efshalasis Beloi Dechoy Beloi Echoy Alde Shinu, Oysa Alde Shinu. If you can reduce your malacha, and it's not obviously going to make the person more ill, then you should try and reduce it as much as you can. Some people like to use a cliché, not a cliché, if someone needs a hot drink, etc. And therefore, this will apply over here as well, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. This is a Mincha Shlomo in Shulchan Shlomo, one of the Sfarim that he has on Hilchos Shabbos, that therefore over here as well, if someone is unwell, they need something hot, a hot drink, then better than putting your fire on and putting a pot on top of the fire, it would be ideal to put it in a microwave, because since a microwave is only ever Issa Derabbanan, because fire in the because fire on Shabbos is strictly fire and nothing else, or say like Rav Nosson said in the beginning, if that's easy for you to understand, it wasn't Derech then, it's not Derech now, I personally find that the easier way to understand, and therefore fire is out, do a microwave. So you have electricity, which is potentially a Derabbanan, and therefore it would be mutter. And just one more point, I think, was that if you cook on Shabbos, your food is asa. In the beginning of Shin Yud Ches, Hamavashal b'Shabbos, b'meizet asa loy la'oylam u'lachayra mutter l'moyte Shabbos mayad. There's plenty of isurim if you cook on Shabbos. On purpose or by mistake, it's a difference. There's a difference. And the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Gimel, right, if you cook on Shabbos, you can't enjoy the food. It depends who you are and why you did it, whether you can enjoy it on Shabbos or after Shabbos, or whether it's asa forever. There are multiple opinions within Halacha and within the Gemara and the Mishnah. It's all over Shas, this machlokes between, I think, Ramei and Rabbi Huda. However, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel, Sheep Shin Yud Ches, if the imu malacha derabbanan, if it's only malacha derabbanan, I'm the Biur Hagra, look in the Gon, Sheherech lo echiach, he tries to explain, the Lekula Alma, in ma'asa oisa b'shoig, if you do by mistake, ain't lesser, but the ever lehonas man, he could benefit from it straight away. So if someone were to cook in a microwave by mistake, it would only ever be an Issa derabbanan potentially, and therefore it may be mutter in certain circumstances to benefit from it.
Switching on is not
if someone switched it on, you're right, for sure you wouldn't be able to answer. Yeah. I just want to clarify what we've said. We started off by saying that there's the halachas of cooking in any cooking utensil that's not fire apply to many areas of the Torah, Bishul Akum, Basar B'Chalav, cooking the Korban, Pesach potentially, and Shabbos. And there are many, many views that say, Rashi in Shabbos tells us we look at what's the derech and what's the regular thing to do. Not necessarily because that's limited to Hilchos Shabbos, but because says Rabbi Chanan in the Kovet Shiurim, in all Isurim of the Torah, we look at a regular way, similar to eating and getting benefit from Isurim. If it's regular, then it's Asa. If it's irregular, it could be potentially Mutam in HaTorah. And therefore, that would apply over here as well. Because microwaves and cooking with waves was an irregular thing to do when Chazal made their Takanas and when the Torah was given. And therefore, that would be, for all ages, considered to be irregular. And therefore, it would never be touching on a Malacha D'Oraisa. Malacha D'Rabbanan, we can maybe find a few, but not a Malacha D'Oraisa. Second of all, there's an opinion of Rav Moshe that if it's derech now, it's always derech, and therefore it's completely asa. And that goes for microwaves, induction, etc. Thirdly, we have the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman that irrelevant maybe of whether something is derech or not derech, or whether it's surah in the Torah of the way or not the way, there was a Kabbalah, it seems, that Chazal had, that Bishul on Shabbos is fire. And you wouldn't be able to make it into a tolda. Because the Mishkan wouldn't limit us, like you were saying before, it's a fair point, but the Mishkan wouldn't limit us because Rav Moshe broadens it to a tolda. But what this is doing is not allowing us to broaden it to a toldah, because there's a Kabbalah that Bishul is the ultimate best cooking possible, which I still think it probably is, which is fire itself, and maybe there are other reasons as well. I'm happy you raised that point. And have we got a minute left?
Yeah.
So then we said, what difference does it make? Because it's Asa Midrabbanan. Turning on these things are going to be electricity, which is going to be basically Asa, unless for certain extreme circumstances, that's basically Asa as well. So I'm sure there are many, but I can think of a couple. So one is brought by Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, an ill person. You break Shabbos for an ill person, but if you can, and you're waiting for an ambulance anyway, for whatever it is, and you've got maybe a few minutes before it comes, and you know you're going to have 5 minutes, they've told you they're only coming in 5 minutes, you can either do a microwave, or you could do it in another way, then maybe do it in a microwave, that's better, because try and avoid the surim. Pekuah Nefesh is not just a blanket, let's just do whatever we can, that's a discussion in itself, but that's what it seems to be over here. And therefore, you should try and do it with a microwave. Second of all, it won't necessarily be asa if you've cooked it on Shabbos. It's not an Issa D'Oraisa, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And therefore, potentially, it could be mutter if you cooked it on Shabbos. So, well, thank you very much. I wish everyone Hatzlacha Rabbah. And have a nice day.
If you cook, why cook a microwave? Use a kettle.
Kettle would be
more. Why is microwave better?